Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing with the theme, what does it mean to be a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada? As I said yesterday, I've given several lectures with similar themes, and I'm quite well known, or maybe infamous, for them. Such lectures, I feel that there's a need for this. Some devotees might think this is all I talk about. It's not at all. It's percentage-wise, it takes up a very small amount, but maybe because it's so sensitive, it becomes better known. Sensitive means, well, if it was complete nonsense, then maybe no one would take it serious. Well, Ritvikism is complete nonsense. A lot of people take that seriously. Okay. The point is that, just like I'm going to read this verse, Tadvidhi Parnipatena, Srila Prabhupada says, just try to learn the truth. So we're interested in the truth. We're not interested in joining a religious institution, interested in dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. We're not interested in kaitava dharma, cheating religion. But in pursuit of the truth, how much can we speak the truth? If we can't speak the truth in a society that's it's supposed to be dedicated to understanding the truth, then what happened? Where did the truth go? Now, we say there's absolute truth, but there are also truths of what's going on in this world, and even within our society. Much of the truths regarding any institution, whether it's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness or the Church of the Latter-day Saints, that's the Mormons, or whether it's the Congress Party or the Bharatiya Janata Party or the whatever it may be. There are many things which the leaders of that institution don't want the public to know because it's embarrassing for them. So that's true in our society also. Especially those who are leaders of the institution, they don't want embarrassing things to come out. But the real thing is that we shouldn't have anything to be embarrassed about, isn't it? If we want to cover up things all the time, of course some cover may be there, but there should be internally the attempt to rectify. But if there's only covering up without any attempt to rectify, then what are you doing? Is that Kaitava Dharma? A religious institution almost inevitably works against its founder, as is suggested in the Putana article of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. That's a real shocker. You can just close that door. You can't ask them to. This is not our property. They come here for their holidays, and their chit chat is the high point of their life. So we can't ask them to stop. If we had satsang here in Hindi, then they might come and join it. But we don't. So let them go on with their chit chat. So yeah, the topic is, what does it mean to be a sincere follower of Prabhupada? Why should we be interested in that? Well, if we have to ask that question, then we're in trouble anyway. If among the devotees in ISKCON anyone has to ask what it means to be a sincere, why are we interested in that subject, then we don't belong in this society anyway. To become a member of ISKCON means that one should be a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34. Well known verse, very well known verse. Well known verse, especially in ISKCON, I would say. Here in Rishikesh, there are many people who are well acquainted with the Gita and well acquainted with Shastra. And maybe among them, it's not one of the most said verses. In fact, among Mayavadis, you'll find a whole different set of verses which are more prominent than the ones which we quote more. But Srila Prabhupada certainly, he quoted this so many times. Tadviti pranipatena pariprasnena sevya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So why should we be a sincere follower? Well, it's for our own self-interest. But sincere means we don't maintain a separate spirit of self-interest. The sarvartatma pano guru. One should offer one's the very meaning of one's life, one's whole self, to the guru. With the, of course, everyone has self-interest, but real lack of egoism means that we have full faith in the guru and we offer ourselves completely to him. We don't remain as an independent entity. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati katopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one attains the mercy of Krishna. And if he's not satisfied, then everything else is useless. Even if we become famous as a great religious preacher, even if we chant 200 rounds a day, somehow, if we don't get the mercy of the spiritual master, then we have destination unknown. Nagati katopi. So, Srila Prabhupada, his purport is, I'm sure most of you are quite familiar with it, but we'll read it again. It's powerful, powerful message every time it's read. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. So why should we be a follower? We have to follow the principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master. And a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. So following means as it is. That's the meaning of parampara, following as it is. No one can be spiritual realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, dharmang tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. So there you get again, yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati katopi. By the satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master, one makes advancement. Without that, whatever else you do, you don't go anywhere. No progress. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him. So these kind of lectures, they're meant for giving a clear understanding of how we can progress in our spiritual life, considering certain circumstances that we're in an ISKCON society which not in all respects is following Srila Prabhupada. Also get a clear understanding. Get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So submission and service and inquiries, that's the disciple's responsibility. But as we will discuss, it's also his responsibility to find out where to put that service and inquiries and submission. Because if you put it in the wrong place, then you won't get the proper advancement. So as we learn from Srila Prabhupada, which is repeating the message of the parampara, it's the message of the truth, Krishna consciousness means to be a follower, as we learn from this verse. Dasa Anudasa, Gopi Bhatur, Pada Kamalaya, Dasa Dasa Anudasa, servant of the servant of the servant. Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta, we have to follow the path of the Mahajans, that is the path. Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the end of almost every chapter, we have Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jara Ash. Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Following in the, or aspiring for the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, Krishna Das speaks Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasa Ranu Das, Shiva Abhi Lasha Mage Narottam Das. It's a standard theme designed to become the servant of the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narottam Das desires service. So all the great acharyas, they present themselves as humble followers. Srila Prabhupada said, whatever success I have had is because I simply followed my Guru Maharaj. And see what success Srila Prabhupada actually had. He ascribed it all to this simply following. Potency comes from the parampara. It doesn't. You can read a book on how to be an influential speaker, public speaker, so you can give lectures in which people will be influenced by that. But the potency comes from the parampara. It's not anything material. It doesn't mean that we can't study material techniques for propagation and all this. Although actually, years ago in Germany, some of our devotees went to a public relations company and said, well, maybe you could give us some tips. You could guide us how to promote our books more. And they said, what? You're asking us? We're looking at you. Your people are the greatest salesmen. They can sell these. We couldn't sell these books. How can you sell books on Indian religion to people in Germany? And one of our devotees in London, he told me, this is back in the 70s, that he was selling Prabhupada's books on the street, and someone said to him, hey, look, you're great, I'll put you in charge of our, I'm the head of a company, I'll put you in charge of all our sales department and give you a good salary. So, we may not need to study different techniques. Potency comes from the parampara. Unless we are in line with the parampara and getting mercy from Srila Prabhupada and the parampara, then whatever we do, however great it may seem to be, it's empty. There are so many religions. Look here in Rishikesh, there's religious institutions, but there's no life of Krishna consciousness. So simply to be big is not of any meaning if it's an empty shell. And if we don't have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, it will deteriorate. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, some of my godbrothers got the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. They could get the temples and the assets of his institution. I got the mercy of being able to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Srila Prabhupada described the malaise or the downfall of the Gauriya Math to not properly following Bhaktisiddhanta and Saraswati Thakur. Now you may say, well, they have mutts, they have followers, and they're preaching, and they certainly consider themselves sincere followers of Bhaktisiddhanta and Saraswati. But Srila Prabhupada said that the spirit of service is lost. Now that's a major point. We may be doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, but the spirit of service and surrender, if it's not there, then preaching will turn to self-aggrandizement, how we get a position. We become interested in Dhanjan Sundari. It may appear to be, but it doesn't have the potency to change people's attention away from Dhanjan Sundari to a Haitar Ki Bhakti. So my notes are a bit. Yeah, in the Gauriya Math after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, there was tremendous upheaval, a lot of infighting, which we haven't seen like that in ISKCON. But one thing I have to say is that most of the mats, although they split up and they don't have the same potency as they had at the time when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was there, but at least philosophically, they didn't change. What do you think? You know them. They don't change the philosophy. Of course, there's the one branch which they. But otherwise, philosophically, they all teach the same philosophy. It's the right philosophy. But we have a different situation in ISKCON where there's not been like the devastating infighting, but philosophically. There are some things which are questionable. Srila Prabhupada, one reason that, as I understand it, that Srila Prabhupada emphasized that he is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, he said whenever there's any, wherever it's written International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it should say underneath founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. On letterhead, if we have visiting cards, if there's a temple sign outside, everywhere it should say that. He emphasized that so much. One reason for that, I understand, is because during Srila Prabhupada's presence, some of his godbrothers tried to present themselves as being greater than him. And another reason he stressed that is that because he gave the format of what this society is meant to be. He gave his books, his books are the basis of this Krishna consciousness movement. He gave many directions, if you see his letters and verbal instructions on how this society should be conducted. So actually, I just thought of that now. This Ritvikism, they say Prabhupada, if Prabhupada thought that he's going to be, there'll be no Acharyas in future, then why do you say founder? Then you can just say Acharya. There's no need for the word founder Acharya. Then if he wanted to be the only Acharya, then you just say Acharya. No need to say founder Acharya. So our success as individuals and as an organization depends on our following Srila Prabhupada. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati katopi. Then why so much emphasis on Srila Prabhupada? Why not on our immediate guru? Well, it's not that we reject our immediate guru, but at the same time we should understand that Srila Prabhupada is that great acharya who is the culmination of all the previous acharyas who fulfilled Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy of, that the Krishna consciousness would be spread all over the world, who's predicted as a Senapati Bhakta. So we should be followers of Srila Prabhupada. This whole presentation is how we should be sincere followers. So we should understand who is Srila Prabhupada, his greatness. We should follow him, that principle. And sincere means Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana kamadya navrita anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama. We should aspire for pure devotional service without any material gain or any desire of any kind other than to serve Guru and Krishna, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So Guru in ISKCON means a faithful, sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada. Now everyone will say I'm a follower of Srila Prabhupada, but opinions and approaches differ, which is not necessarily a bad thing. We don't want everyone just to be a robot or a stereotype. But various issues arise. Even it seems almost laughable that there's an issue within our movement, which has been going on for several years, over whether women devotees should be addressed as Prabhu or Mataji. I mean, it is laughable. I'm in Russia. I brought this up a few years ago, and everyone present, there were about 100 devotees present, they hadn't heard about this, that there's controversy going. And when they heard that they want to call women Prabhu, they all laughed, men and women. They just thought it was a joke. But they're really, we have to call women Prabhu. So is there one fixed way to follow Srila Prabhupada? Well, there may be different approaches in different areas, and then we see that Srila Prabhupada himself, when he was personally present, he accommodated some people who were really strange, but who were charismatic leaders, and they had many followers, and who later, after Srila Prabhupada left, they just did their own thing. And particularly I'm thinking of Kirtanananda and Siddha Swarupananda. Srila Prabhupada accommodated them all, and as long as he was there, by the power of his spiritual strength and his personality, he kept them in some kind of line with difficulty. But then later their deviant attitude became manifest. Siddha Swarupananda left ISKCON shortly after Prabhupada left, and Kirtananda, after a few years, he was thrown out for being so deviant. So Srila Prabhupada was able to accommodate. He didn't accommodate everyone. When there was few disciples were very offensive to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just rejected them. They're still offensive. So can we accommodate so many different ranges and opinions, or is that the question, or is the real thing that we should all understand what it means to be sincere? Is everyone will say I'm sincere, I'm a follower, I'm sincere, but is it just by stating that we are, or by sincerely thinking that we are actually sincere? What does it mean to be sincere? Does it mean to be convinced? Yesterday I gave so many quotes about false devotees. They all think they don't think I'm a false devotee. I mean, there may be a few people who think, well, actually I'm just doing this to cheat people. But most of them, they may be fish-eating Vaishnavas or professional kirtaniyas or whatever. And And they don't think I'm false. They're saying, well, I'm singing. I'm singing with real love for Krishna, and anyway, I'm getting paid for it, but I have to support my family. And what's wrong with that anyway? No one thinks they're wrong. They'd be very offended if we said that they're not sincere or they're bogus. So everyone thinks they're right, but it would be difficult to get two devotees or senior devotees who agree on every issue, on everything. I can just give a couple of examples. Last time I was in America, one GBC and guru told me that we shouldn't distribute Bhagavad Gita as it is. He said there's such heavy statements in there, especially about women, that people get turned off. So better we distribute other books and then later we can introduce it to them. Now, I didn't agree with that. But he had a kind of reason. He says that people get turned off, and maybe some people get turned off. I don't know. Vijay Prabhu, who's the book distribution minister, he told me that in his experience traveling around the world, he finds that many people become devotees by reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. Maybe some people get turned off too. But to me, that was a shocking statement. We shouldn't distribute Bhagavad Gita as it is. Whereas I always thought that's the thing we should do more than anything is distribute Bhagavad Gita. He's saying that we should, and giving a reason which sounds like a plausible reason. People get turned off. Give them some other book. I don't know which book you can give a Prabhupada's that doesn't have any heavy statements. Life comes from life. It's coming to that we find that one of the big gurus in our movement, he's promoting another book, which doesn't have all heavy things and which is nice to everyone and doesn't criticize anyone. And should we distribute that instead of Bhagavad Gita as it is? Maybe it's effective in bringing people in, but into what? And does it please Srila Prabhupada that we... That's the question. That's the question for me. Should we distribute Bhagavad Gita as it is or not? Well, what does Prabhupada think? I think that's pretty clear, isn't it, what Prabhupada wanted us to do? It's not so easy to be a follower of Prabhupada because he's a heavy guru. Real guru means heavy. So we should distribute Bhagavad Gita as it is and take the consequences of it. Just another example of another GBC in America. He was talking, making some statement that in the course of his talking, he said, well, Prabhupada, he wanted the whole of the ISKCON body to be legally under the GBC. And he was making this point and going on and on. But that struck me that he said that, but he knows very well that that's a controversial point. That's a big point of contention between the ISKCON India leaders and the ISKCON America leaders, who want to put everything legally in India under the GBC, but they want to do it. They said, look, you messed up America, don't mess us up. Srila Prabhupada said that that point I made, how much should we say openly? Srila Prabhupada said that the GBC is the ultimate managing authority of ISKCON, but he didn't make any moves to put everything legally under one umbrella organization. So I'm just saying this, that he said this as if it's a fact, but it's well known that it's a controversial point. So there are very different opinions. So on many, many points. So it's often quoted, unity in diversity. That's one quote of Srila Prabhupada's, important quote, that we should foster unity and diversity. Srila Prabhupada said the leaders of the movement should come together in Mayapur and discuss how to have unity and diversity. The fact that he said they should come and discuss it suggests that it's not an easy thing, not such an easy thing to establish that. But what I see in our movement, there's certainly diversity, but there's not really unity. That it's just everyone is, especially in India, it's like that. They're all different. There are different guru groups, and they do their things. And within the guru groups, there are subgroups. And it's more like everyone tolerates each other, but there's not real, not a very great unity. We don't think of it as a movement, how we could, as a movement, how we should carry our mission forward, but rather it's all different groups do their own thing. So it's more like that live and let live, I'm okay, you're okay. But one aspect of sincerity is commitment to what one understands to be right. Now we have to be a little careful with that, because Hitler was, he was also sure that he was right. And people who blow themselves up, suicide bombers, they're convinced that they're right. Terrorists. So to be convinced that one is right is, it's not really sincerity unless you're on the right point. You can be committed to something which is completely wrong. But if we are sincere to follow Srila Prabhupada, then we should understand what are his teachings. Siddhanta Balya Chitena Karaha Alash. We should understand what is this Siddhanta, what are his teachings, what is the philosophy. And if we feel that something is not as it should be, then sincerity will be manifested by pointing that out or trying to convince others that this is not the right path. And sometimes it's very easy to see that. Sometimes it's very easy to see when people are not sincere. It's very clear in following Srila Prabhupada that anyabhilashita ashunyam, I quoted there, there should be and guru mukha padmavakya chitete na kariya aika arana kariya manayasha. What guru says, and we take this, Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of ISKCON, we should know what Srila Prabhupada says, we should make that one with our heart, we should not desire anything else, we should try to follow that, we should try to be pure, try to become pure devotees. So I'm just giving a couple of examples. There's many years ago when I was temple president in some small temple, one of my godbrothers was there, and he had the habit of getting up daily at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I said to him, yeah, you can't do this, it's not proper. He said, well, Prabhupada said his father used to get up a little late. You'll find one, there are dozens of times Srila Prabhupada in his letters, personally in his book, saying we should rise early. And you find one thing, which it's not an instructive thing, it's descriptive, that Srila Prabhupada's father, who was a pure devotee, he described, used to rise a little late. Take that one thing and I get up late, therefore it's okay. So this clearly shows me he was not sincere. Another case, there was one of my disciples who supposed to be a disciple. He was supposed to clean the room that I was staying in during the morning program. I came and I, after the morning program, saw nothing's cleaned, and then I asked someone to call him, and he came in looking groggy and said, oh, I went to sleep. He's just slept through the whole morning program. Neither chanted japa nor clean. So I understood he's not sincere. Then after some time he went away criticizing me and everyone else, went and joined some other Gauriya group, and then after some time he left them also. So sometimes it's it can be very clear when someone's not sincere. Other times it may be a philosophical thing. But Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, that's a powerful thing. There are some things which we all have to follow. Rising early, chanting 16 rounds. We should preach as Srila Prabhupada preached. If we're not doing that, then it at least we can say it becomes suspicious. It becomes questionable. If we don't, if we speak what Srila Prabhupada speaks, then we can know that, or at least it shouldn't raise any question if we speak as Srila Prabhupada spoke, and he spoke as his guru spoke, and this is the principle of parampara. So Srila Prabhupada did give various instructions, different indications to different people in different times and places and circumstances. He gave different allowances. For some devotee, he may have given some allowance. But it might be difficult to say that someone is exactly following everything that Srila Prabhupada said, because he did give different instructions to different people. But there are some things which are very clear, which basic things we should, like this, regular sadhana, four regulative principles, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, preaching according to them. But our spirit should be not because, well, Prabhupada said so many different things, then just do whatever you like. But that becomes meaningless. We have to try to understand what Srila Prabhupada said and implement that in our life. In varying circumstances, every follower has to select and deselect certain things. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave allowance for preaching in pant and suit in certain circumstances. He told devotees who were preaching among scientists to do like that. But at the same time, when Prabhupada was present, it was no disciple would come before Prabhupada in Western clothes. Or they wouldn't come to the Mongol Arati in Western clothes. So there were certain things were understood. But if we say that, well, and Srila Prabhupada, mostly to outside people who asked about the dress, he said, well, you can chant Hare Krishna in Western dress and this and that. But at the same time, he did introduce a dress standard. So some may say, well, Prabhupada allowed that we can have a different kind of dress and take that to be the main instruction in this regard. And others will say, no, Prabhupada himself dressed in traditional Vaishnava dress, and he wanted his followers to do like that, so there may be some divide on that. And all will claim they're following Srila Prabhupada. But again, we should be careful not to take some allowances and make that the norm. Just like Prabhupada said, his father rose a little late. Prabhupada didn't say very late. After 8 a.m., is very late. I mean, most kamis are up before that. But the spirit should be to follow. And in general, if we're not sure, then better to be conservative rather than take a license. We may say that Srila Prabhupada was different in many ways to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was different to Gaur Kishore, he was different to Bhaktivinoda. They're all different personalities. So we can be different also. But to look to be different is in itself a disease. The main thing is we should look to be a sincere follower. And are we so qualified that we can make so many changes? Founder Acharya, remember? We could be misleading ourselves and others if we think, well, I'm going to change this and I'm going to change that. And we're just keeping the essence of Krishna consciousness, but we're changing some other things. There's a very interesting thing. I'm going to read it now. This is written by Satsarup Das Goswami about the illusory Prabhupada. I'll read it, then you'll understand. He said, the first time I heard the term illusory Prabhupada, it was spoken to me by my godbrother Bhurijan Prabhu. I was startled to hear that praise. Maybe you were startled when you heard it. What does it mean, illusory Prabhupada? It sounds almost offensive. So Bhurijan said that he had been serving Srila Prabhupada in separation in Hong Kong while Srila Prabhupada was in America. Bhurijan thought that he had subtly begun to do things differently from the way Prabhupada did them. To rationalize his behavior, Bhurijan tried to justify his actions based on what he thought Prabhupada would say. In this way, he felt like he was still in line with Prabhupada. He never actually forgot Prabhupada, and he had no other desire than to serve him. Sincere follower. So he began to serve Srila Prabhupada as he conceived of him in his own mind. Then, Prabhupada came to Hong Kong. When Bhurijan went to meet him at the airport, it was a shocking experience. Seeing the real Prabhupada, to have to answer to him and surrender to his instructions was a crushing blow. Because Prabhupada asked him, then why do you have long hair and why aren't you rising early in the morning? And he said, well, it's for preaching. And then Prabhupada just took him apart piece by piece. So, to describe one's creation of an illusory Prabhupada is a very honest statement for a disciple. To admit that a duality can exist between Prabhupada as he is and Prabhupada as we want him to be. Many years ago, this came up in the ISKCON World Review, which was a magazine which was sent to all the centers of that time. And in there, I can't even remember what the issue was, but the statement was, don't do what Srila Prabhupada said. But he said, do what Srila Prabhupada would say now. And that just leaves it up to your speculation. But that was the reasoning. And that reasoning is still going on. That was never challenged within the movement. So, Srila Prabhupada spoke constantly. He had it recorded. Even when there were no followers, he was recording what he was saying. Because he took very seriously what he said, and he wanted others to take it seriously. And if we speculate on what Prabhupada would say now, then we're in danger of ending up with the illusory Prabhupada of our imagination. So, we have to be fixed in Siddhanta. Siddhanta bolya chitena koraha alosh, eha hoite krishne lage surira manosh. I hope you all know this, you all know the meaning of this, for the benefit of those either present here or not present here who don't know the meaning. The meaning is that we should not be lazy in the matter of understanding the proper philosophical conclusions. Shastra is given to Vedanta, means it's Vedanta, and on top of that Vedanta Sutra is meant to give us the proper conclusions, proper understanding of reality. What is truth? That is to be understood from Shastra. Shastra is to be understood through Guru. Guru is Guru because he represents Shastra. So Siddhanta we require. Otherwise, if we're not, by understanding Siddhanta clearly, then our mind will become strongly attached to Krishna. If we're not fixed in understanding things proper, In other words, don't think what Srila Prabhupada would say now. Well, in one sense, we have to apply that because there are different times and places and circumstances to apply the Siddhanta. But when Srila Prabhupada has given instructions on various issues, and we don't throw that out and bring in something which we imagine Prabhupada would say now, it's very dangerous. Srila Prabhupada warned us about deviation, speculation. There is deviation, philosophical and gross, both. And of the two, the philosophical deviation is more dangerous. From philosophical deviation will come all kinds of deviation. And gross deviation is very easy to see. If someone's supposed to be a sannyasi and they have women secretaries and they're surrounded by women all the time. One of my godbrothers said something very interesting. He said, within our movement, we see some sannyasis, wherever they go, they're surrounded by women. And others, they're surrounded by men. Obviously, a sannyasi should not be surrounded by women. Otherwise, what's the meaning of being a sannyasi? There's no objection if one's a grihastha. If he has 50 wives, well, according to Shastra, there's nothing wrong with that. But sannyasi shouldn't be. So, if someone is supposed to be a spiritual leader and they're eating meat and having illicit sex, it's very clear, but the philosophical deviation may not be very clear. So, one devotee who I know has rejected his guru in ISKCON. He's publicly rejected him because he says his teachings are not in line with parampara. It's a very bold thing to do. The breaking point for him was when his guru gave a blessing to a gay union, a homosexual union. But his doing so is not accepted within the ISKCON society. He's not allowed to give lectures. This devotee who rejected is not allowed to give lectures, and it's considered wrong that he rejected him. What is going on is that you're supposed to accept a guru as long as he follows the four regulated principles. But the main thing is the guru is four regulated principles, not the main thing he teaches. The main thing is guru is supposed to teach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva abhigachet. To learn the spiritual science, one should approach a guru. So if one sees that the guru is deviated from that, then according to Prabhupada's teachings, which is according to Shastra, that guru api avaliptasya karya karya majanataha utpadna pratipandasya parityago vidhiyate. If he's fallen in terms of sadacha, that's one reason to reject him. And another reason is if he's teaching the wrong thing, or if he doesn't know how to teach at all. So that is according to Shastra. And it makes sense also, because why should you keep a guru if he's teaching, actually, or if he's promoting things which, according to Srila Prabhupada, that propensity is demoniac. So to sanction it is to sanction something which Srila Prabhupada said is demoniac. Now you may say, well, it's not in Shastra that it's demoniac and this and that, but according to Srila Prabhupada, it is. So, I'm just making the point here that in following Srila Prabhupada, we may have to be a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada means the guru should be also, the parampara has to go on, not just in lip service, but we actually have to follow the philosophy exactly and properly. And if the guru goes away from that, then we're in a lot of trouble. So there is philosophical deviation. It's not that everything that anyone says is all right. If someone talks like a Mayavadi, associates with Mayavadis, what do you call them? Or they might be a Mayavadi in one group, and then when they come to the devotees, they're like a devotee, but that's, what is that? Antarshakta Bahir Shaiva Sabhayam Vaishnava Mata. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to quote this. Do you know where that's from? I don't know where it's from. Maybe it's something he just made. It's Sanskrit. But anyway, anyone can speak Sanskrit. So internally, he's a Shakta, worshipper of the material energy. Externally, he's a Shaiva. When he comes among Vaishnavas, then he's a Vaishnava. But a Vaishnava means he's always a Vaishnava. Not that you sometimes, when you go with the Shaktas, then you're a Shakta, and then when you go with the Shaivas, you're a Shaiva. When you go with the Mayavadis, you're a Mayavadi. That Nitya Krishna does. So Srila Prabhupada warned about this speculation, and several times we find Srila Prabhupada said, don't change anything. He's emphasized that. Don't speculate and change anything. But in another sense, change is inevitable. The world changes. We change. We're supposed to be changing. We're supposed to be becoming more advanced in Krishna consciousness. We're supposed to be. So ISKCON has changed. It's now, since Srila Prabhupada left, the movement has become much bigger in terms of numbers and properties. And it used to be ashram-based. Most of the members were living in ashrams, as most of you here are. But now most of the members or initiated devotees, the vast majority are people who live in their own homes. We change as we get older. Our way of seeing things and the world tends to change. So what does it mean not to change? Well, 16 rounds, following basic regulated principles, those things should not change. You may have heard some of the older devotees, they talk about the good old days. When Prabhupada was here, should we go back to that? Is it possible to go back to that? The devotees were mostly young, age-wise, they're mostly in their 20s, teens or 20s. And a lot of youthful enthusiasm, a lot of spiritual enthusiasm, but bolstered by the enthusiasm of that's there in youth, and not very competent worldly, which had a kind of charm about it also, that we were not very expert in dealing with the world, and naive. It was, our devotees used to go and do lots of Harinam. That would be a good thing to bring back. And the odd socks was a hallmark of our devotees. They'd throw all the clothes in the laundry and then they didn't bother to sort them out. So you pull out one sock, find another sock. So should we go back to that? No. How do we remain unchanged in our commitment to serve Srila Prabhupada in a world that, by its very nature, gachatiti jagat, the definition of the jagat, of the world, is that it's always moving, it's always changing, especially in the modern age. Society in India was very stable in many ways. Things didn't change from generation to generation, but the modern world, is everything changes so fast that each generation is cut off from the next generation. We first had that in the 1960s, the generation gap, where the What is it? Your sons and your daughters are beyond your control, for the times they are a-changing, as the poet of the 1960s sung. The parents can't understand the children, but that it's happening in every generation. Because the society and the attitudes, everything is changing. So how do we remain unchanged in our commitment to follow Srila Prabhupada? One thing to keep anchored is to regularly, Guru Mokha Padma Vakya Chitete Korea Aika, what Prabhupada says, we should be fixed in that by regularly studying his books, hearing his lectures, basic things, four regulated principles, 16 rounds, these are the very basic things. One of the great qualities of Srila Prabhupada's teachings is they're very simple, down to earth, very realistic. There are so many examples of that. We're talking in our meetings here about philosophy and how to impart higher philosophy in the schools to the older boys. There was an instance where one pundit came. He said, I studied this and I studied that, and he wants to teach it to our devotees. And Prabhupada said, they can't understand all these things. Vishishta Dvaita, Dvaita Dvaita, Shuddha Dvaita, Kevala Dvaita. Prabhupada said, they can't understand all these things. If they can chant Hare Krishna, I'll be happy. But then there was another pundit came and said, oh yeah, he said, all right, you can. He said, now I've learned these things, I want to share it with others. And Prabhupada said, yes, you'll get the right opportunity here. So he wasn't necessarily against the... But it seems, especially with his Western disciples, which was most of his disciples, the great majority of them, Srila Prabhupada, in some candid moments, he said that, well, if they can... There was one incident. One of my godbrothers told me that in Delhi, this is not unusual. I mean, Prabhupada Vishnu Swami told me in Delhi, just outside Prabhupada's room, he saw one GBC man punch out another one, physically punch him. It was not uncommon in our movement in those days. For disagreements were settled. On that basis, quite often. I had a GBC man tell me, because I at that time I had a disagreement with my Sankirtan party leader, and the GBC man told me, said that, well, if it had been me, I'd have just punched you in the mouth. It was a GBC man, sannyasi. I'd have just punched you out. So, one life member came to Srila Prabhupada and said that, oh, two of your disciples, they're physically fighting outside the room. And Prabhupada said to him, you're surprised they're fighting? I'm surprised they're chanting Hare Krishna. So it was a pretty rough bunch, and sometimes Srila Prabhupada was very candid about it. But he also said that the children of my disciples, they'll be able to light fires by mantra. He was hopeful of that. So he wasn't totally hopeless, but he saw the reality of it. He wanted cultured Indians to join, not hardly any joined. He encouraged them very much, those who did join. I don't want to get into an Indian versus Western bhav here, but there are definitely some advantages of being born in India. Bharata bhumite hoilo manusha janma ja janma shata kari karo para upaka. Although Prabhupada also says sometimes that Bharat means the whole world, but at the same time, the particular tract of land from, what is that that we used to see in the 1970s, from Kashmir to Kanyakumari, India is one of the slogans that Indira Gandhi had posted all over India. She didn't say the east-west axis, because that got cut down thanks to her father. It used to be from from Afghanistan to Burma also, but now it's from Amritsar to Calcutta or Manipur. Anyway, that's political talk. So how does a newcomer know what is following Prabhupada and what isn't? Generally, newcomers who come, they just take up whatever, whoever they come in contact with, they follow that. Most of the people who are Ritvikvadis, for instance, we can give that as an example of something which is uncontroversially within the official ISKCON accepted to be bogus, is Ritvikvad. How do they come to that? It's not that they sit down and study all the books and try and understand it themselves. It's just that they come, that they're brought in by Ritvikvadis and they become Ritvikvadis. That's all. So a lot depends on our association, especially those who we associate with in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. That we can see that, isn't it? There are different groups and different approaches and different attitudes within our movement, and it very much affects how we take to Krishna consciousness according to how we're guided in the beginning. And I'm always saying to all of you that I'm saying all these controversial things. Don't just accept it because I say it. You apply your intelligence to understand. I want you to do that. I don't want you to just, well, Guru Maharaj says, and that's it. Well, that's a good attitude also. You had a question like that. I have to answer that. The attitude should be to follow, but it should be following with understanding. If we just follow blindly, then the change of heart won't take place. We have to understand what we're doing. That I quoted yesterday from Narada Bhakti Sutra, that bhakti without understanding of Krishna's greatness can never be solid. So we have to, and there's that long purport Srila Prabhupada gave to that verse that, what is that verse that comes after Vedanti Tat Tat Vidas? Yeah, what's the first line? Chadadhana Muniyo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashanti Atmani Chatmanam Bhakta Shuta Grihitaya. So Srila Prabhupada gives a long purport and very, he quotes that whole purport later again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Muni, which Srila Prabhupada translates as thoughtful person, should be faithful, not blind faith. He should have knowledge and detachment and see the Supreme Lord in every living being by the process of bhakti shuti grihitaya, bhakti by hearing, shuti grihita, hearing and accepting the message of Shastra. So as with generally in the Sanskrit shlokas, every word has so much meaning. So, but newcomers mostly, it's not that you read all the books and you study everything and then you come to a decision. But we do recommend always coming to Krishna consciousness, read these books, try to understand. So many people, they want to be sentimental followers, which is not a bad thing, but it's not without understanding, without applying our intelligence in spiritual understanding, then we won't be able to discriminate between spirit and matter, between Maya and reality. And with sentiment, then we won't be able to distinguish what is Krishna consciousness and what is fulfilling our own material desire. And then we may have the illusory Prabhupada and the illusory Krishna consciousness, in which we're thinking, I'm fully dedicated to Krishna, but actually we're nurturing material desires in the heart. So read Srila Prabhupada's books, hear his lectures, very powerful. And from the beginning, if we're fortunate to get that association by which we understand, there are some basic things we have to understand. Why do we come to Krishna consciousness? We should understand Bhagavad Gita. This material world is miserable. 500 rupee, fine. But for you, there's no use to... What can we do? Because you have no money anyway. Any money you have is all Krishna. And then we have to give you money. So, yeah, these basic principles, if we understand from the beginning, this material world is miserable. We're here due to our forgetfulness of Krishna. We have to become free from material desires. That sincere follower, anya bhilashita shunyam, free from a desire only to serve Krishna, understanding that he is the master, we are the servant. These very basic things. If we can understand that from the beginning and continue with that, then we can be well on the path. But if we don't understand that, then we can go on for many years and not make proper progress. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example of the people got in the boat at night and they were going on an overnight boat journey. They all went to sleep in the boat and they woke up in the morning just before dawn and they saw the boatman is rowing. Rowing, 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 and they said, we didn't reach yet. And he said, well, we should reach soon. I've been rowing all night. And then the sun came up and they saw they're in the same place because he'd forgot to untie the boat from the post. There's a word for that. What's that called? Anchor. No, the, not anchor. They tied the post. I'm just trying to remember. I can't remember. It doesn't really matter, but there posts were on the, that the boats are tied to. No, it's on the dock, but it's not the dock. So that example is given. I'm trying to think of that word. That example is given that if we may go on doing our Krishna consciousness, but if we don't let go of those desires for sense gratification, both gross and subtle, then we may not make any progress. Bahujanma kare jodi shravan kirtan tobuta napai krishna pade prematan. Now we're having a shravan kirtan camp coming up starting day after tomorrow. But the first shravan kirtan should be orientation. We're here to surrender to Krishna, to give up material desires, to understand that everything in this world is temporary and of no real consequence. Just like now there's an election going on in India. It is consequential to the present situation that we're in, but ultimately it's of no consequence. And millions of leaders have come and gone, and the basic situation of the world is janma mrityu jaravyadi, birth, death, old age and disease. So we don't have... We have some interest because we have to live and preach Krishna consciousness in this world, but ultimately everything in this world without a connection to Krishna is all meaningless. So with that vision we can prosecute Krishna consciousness and become advanced. So that vision has to be that sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada. That's the vision he gave. I just posted on BVK Sangha this morning, so something he said which was is devastating to the materialists. He quoted that verse, this yasya atma kuna pe tvitatuke swati kala tradishu bhuma idyati. So he said that it's just like this body is just like a bag made up of different substances and it produces other bags and we become attached to these bags. So your children, your what you think is yourself is just a bag of blood and stool and bones, and you become attached to another bag, which you call your children, blood and stool and bones. So that's the harsh reality. That doesn't mean that you don't look after your children, but that is the understanding of what is this material attachment. So that point you brought up yesterday, there's affection and there's attachment. You should be affectionate to children, but we shouldn't be attached to them on the bodily platform. So Hare Krishna, I'll stop there.